Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as I always love to say, it is my privilege to be back amongst my listening audience as we together study the Word of God, that it may richly bless and enrich our lives, that we might be more conformed to the image of God's Son. Amen. Let us begin with the word of prayer. Father God, we come again and we exalt your name. We extol your name. We thank you, Master, for what you have done for us and what you continually do for us. Oh, Master, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct our study tonight, that we might be richly blessed by the power of your Spirit in giving us a full understanding of what your Word says as we ought to conduct our lives by the direction of your Spirit. Come now, Holy Spirit, as only you can. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this teaching. We ask this all in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. Well, last week we were in the closing verses of chapter 2 of the book of Acts. We've been in the study of the book of Acts. This book of Acts is one of my favorite books because it deals with the church. And I believe that we need to every now and then go back and revisit the things of the church to make sure that the church is moving in the direction that God would have it to move as his living entity, his body here on earth. But let's pick this up in verse 41 through 47, and then we will move on with our study. Amen. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, there are some things I just want to touch on in this verse 41. It says, then they gladly received his word. I'm a firm believer that when the word of God goes out to a heart that has been prepared by the Spirit to receive God's word, that God's word is gladly received. But many times, and I know this sounds a little critical perhaps or even a little negative, but many times people come to church with all kinds of expectations other than what they ought to be coming for. We ought to come to church to gladly receive the word of God. It is the Word of God that is the primary focus of our worship experience. It's not the singing, although the singing is good. It's not all the other amenities that we have in our sanctuaries, although there's nothing wrong with those. But the main focus is the Word of God. And if we do not come with hungry hearts, if we do not come prepared to receive the Word, then we do not have the joy. And I sometimes believe that's what's missing in some of our churches. And I'm talking about the church in general, because your church may be a high place of praise and worship, and everything may be going greatly. But, you know, when we look at the pollsters like Barner and Gallup, and we see that a lot of the mainline churches have stagnated or in decline, that's a sad state for the Church of Jesus Christ. God is a powerful God, and our churches ought to be alive and rich with his presence. And perhaps that's the problem. Perhaps we have failed to usher in his presence when we come into his worship services. But here in the book of Acts, it says 3,000 people were added unto that church. And it says, and they gladly received his word and were baptized. And then it goes on in verse 42 and says that, and they truly... I should say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, last week we touched on this doctrinal issue a little bit, and I just want to just capsulize it real quickly. And it says about doctrine is the right teaching. So therefore, doctrine is not an enemy of the worship service. Doctrine is not a dry intellectual entity that we throw around in our seminaries. Doctrine is correct teaching. There's the doctrine of salvation. If you don't know what the doctrine of salvation is, how do you know what if you're truly saved or not? There's varying doctrines that we ought to know. We ought to be like the Bereans and study to show ourselves approved. Amen? And then there's fellowship. And I know sometimes we can almost get that a little out of balance and we do more fellowship than other things, but fellowship is critical and important. Sometimes I hear people say, why do we always have to fellowship with other churches? Well, a body is supposed to fellowship together. And fellowship not only from church to church, but within our own church. We cannot learn how to love one another if we don't spend time together other than in a worship service where there's not a lot of communication going on. But there are other things that we need to do to make sure that we are richly blessed by one another's presence. Amen. And then it talks about the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread from house to house, the Lord's Supper. Many times we have almost reduced the Lord's Supper down to a ritual. And Jesus said, as often as you do this unto me. So it doesn't matter whether you do it once a month, once a week, or once a quarter. But it does mean when you do it, we need to remind ourselves what it is that we are coming into the presence of God, reminding ourselves what Jesus gave up for us that we might have the right to eternal life. It is a time that our hearts need to be checked before we even begin the service. It's a time that we need to confess our sins. It's a time we need to lay down any grudges or bad feelings we have with one another. Sometimes it's amazing that people will come into a church house, receive the communion, know that they're living together, they're cohabitating, they're not even married. It's like sin does not even bother them. They think just because they love the Lord that they can do and take the Lord's Supper any old kind of way. It's got to be reverentially served and received. Amen? Amen. And then in prayer. And as I said the other week, that's one of my pet peeves. Is I don't know what happened to our corporate prayer meetings. I don't know what happened to those times that we get together and we pray corporately. We have allowed society to change our hearts and we've changed now into individualists and we come for our own ways and our own means and our own problems and our own this and our own that, when we ought to be coming together corporately because we are to be the body of Christ. And when we come together corporately and we come together in unity, when we pray together in unity, there is power. There's a special power that God mandates unto his church when people come together and they pray as a unified front. And like Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When we seek to build the kingdom, when we seek to move the kingdom, when we seek to spread the kingdom, God's promise is he will take care of the supplies and the resources and things that we need, but we need to be about our Father's business. Amen. And then it says, and basically in giving. And some churches don't have a problem with that, and many people don't have a problem with that. There are others that always think that every time they give a few dollars in the plate, it's going to the preacher's pocket. Well, that's not true. It's going to the building of the kingdom of God. And if you trust God, if anybody is doing anything wrong with the funds, believe me, God will take care of the issue. Amen. And I mentioned in unity, and I mentioned now it ought to be done in joy. And in joy, there comes through praise. And we ought to be able to lift up our hands and praise the Lord. We ought to come into our worship service with holy hands lifted up, thanking God for what he's done, what he continually does, and how he moves through our lives, how he takes us from sin to glory, how he takes us from not knowing him to an intimate relationship with him, from taking us from not knowing the things of God to knowing the things of God, and just be able to appreciate his creation that he has created for us, that we might live an abundant life here on earth. And the abundant life does not mean always amassing things, but it means that when you can go outside and you can look up into the sky and you can see the expanse of the sky and you can praise your God because of what he has done in the sky, when you hear the birds chirp and how he's made them personally serenade you in the morning, when you can watch a bee go from flower to flower, when you can watch a flower bloom, when you can see the things of life, when we can get past the negativity, we can get past all the hurt and the pain, pain, we can understand and appreciate what God has done for us. And that ought to bring joy into our hearts. It ought to cause us to praise the Lord. Maybe you've been praying for a sick relative. Now that person is whole and healed again. You need to just praise God. When we come into our worship service, we ought to be thankful for what God has done. If we would just take time and look back over our lives and see what the Lord has done. When we can look back on the fact that we woke up this morning, we ought to praise God. We didn't have to wake up, but by His mercy and His grace, we were awoken this morning. And because we are able to move about and have a reasonable portion of our mind, we have food in our refrigerator and clothes on our backs and a place to stay. We ought to thank and praise God. And when we come into the sanctuary, it is a time, a high time of worshiping God, not to get from God, but to give back to God. God's been giving to us, and we need to give back to God. And when we give back to God through our worship service, it blesses our hearts. And so therefore, we can learn how to come together in unity. And it's important when I come to see my brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to come together as that body. Because when I'm apart from you, there's a part of me missing. When you're apart from me, there's a part of you missing. But when we come together in the power of unity, God's presence is made known. I wonder what would begin to happen in our worship services if we would just concentrate on ushering in the presence of God. And as we usher in the presence of God, hearts would be changed, lives would be touched, habits would die, bad habits, sin would fall off. We would be immensely changed just by coming into the presence of God. Because when I look in the Word of God, no one who ever got into the presence of God remained unchanged. And so therefore, we ought to either hunger for the presence of God to come into our worship services, the building of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, I have a little time left, but I don't want to go too much further. But next week, we're going to go into the third chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to see now that John and Peter are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being about the ninth hour. And there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb who was carried, whom they daily laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms of them that entered into the temple. Well, it is about time to wind this down. And as I say, please let me hear from you. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope this study will touch your heart. Most of all, I hope it excites you and revives you as we build together the kingdom of God unto His glory. And next week, we will pick up in this third chapter and move forward. Please pray for me as I pray for you. Check out our website, www.smbcmesa.org. See you again next week. Take care and God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. It's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.